much for this day, God. I thank you for church family. I thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, I'm a little emotional sometimes. Sorry, I didn't think it was going to hit me as much as it would. All right, so I'm going to give you guys some scripture to look up while I pull it together. and I promise you're going to get out of here at noon. In fact, I had so many notes, I pulled things off just because I want to be respectful of your time. All right, write down some notes because you're going to want these scriptures. 2 Chronicles chapters 14 through 15. I'm just going to tell you what's up there. So 2 Chronicles chapter 14 through 15. And then also write down Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. So that's 2 Chronicles chapter 14 through 15. And then Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. And then finally Luke chapter 10, 38 through 42. This is kind of where I'm teaching from. And if you've sat through some of my messages, I love to study. And I loved at the very end, it all connects. So hang in there. I have a very, very fun journey we're going to go on today. So anybody do some spring cleaning? Anybody do spring cleaning? I do. Normally you look around and you're like, it's about that time. Because I got so many like piles. Anybody like hyper organized, but they have that one drawer or that one pile. Or maybe your whole house is drawers and piles. And it's in those moments where your spouse is normally whispering, hey, how about that yard sale? And you're like, oh gosh. Nobody really likes doing yard sales because you know all the work it takes to prepare just to find stuff to give away, right? You're like, yay, yard sale. Babe, that sounds like a great idea. I'm going to spend 10 hours getting ready for it for 50 bucks. Gotta be great. So we go through our things. We reorganize, right? We reprioritize. And we start to declutter our lives. And it's pretty painful at first. Normally, you're going through the drawer and you're realizing how dysfunctional sometimes we are in the things that we save. there's nothing like doing some spring cleaning and you start to really realize things that had false value. At that point, when you go through it, really doesn't mean anything, right? It's just clutter. It's things that kind of clog up our lives. It stresses us out in piles. And when you go through things and reprioritize, you find under everything what really matters. Just a story to share. My father took me and my sister Joy, and if you know me and my sister Joy, we butt heads a little bit, you know, we sharpen each other. That's a euphemism, right? So we went on a graduation trip, and we had a blast. And Dad took tons of pictures, like tons. And they were absolutely beautiful where we went. And my dad's computer crashed about 2 years later, and he lost every single photo. And at the time, that was pretty crushing. All those memories. But I'll tell you, when Dad passed, it was haunting. Because I lived in Oklahoma for 11 years. That was 2004. So for 10 years, I didn't get to really go on the family vacations. I was lucky if I scraped up enough money just to make it back for Christmas some years. And it would haunt me. It would like hurt my heart. And I would pray every time it came to mind because it almost tormented me. I was like, Father, I just thank you in Jesus' name. You will make a way. We had turned that house upside down. We had gone through like all the, you know, those stacks of little piles of computer cards and weird things that you could possibly save them. I tore my place apart. 10 years, could not find it. Last year, I did a declutter, reorganization, restructuring of my life just because my job description kind of tripled. And I tell you what, I had the best year of ministry, had the best year of my life. Life did not get easier per se, but man, I was walking close with him. And I think at the very end of that year, God had us stumble upon a cleaning, and in this Ziploc bag of weird stuff, there was a little card the size of my thumbnail at the bottom of the bag. And we didn't know what it was on. And we popped it in and we found the grease pictures. And it was a shaking moment because God perfects the things that concern you. And underneath all the clutter, all the junk, all the thing that we think means something to us, that little thumbnail of something you prayed about for 10 years, God opens up. It was an absolute miracle. We've been through things so many times. And so today my message, the title, it's all about remembering things that really matter and uncluttering our lives. The title I kept wrestling with, and my cousin helped me veto a really bad title. Thank you for saving me, cuz. So I called this Mary versus Martha Battle. The Mary versus Martha Battle, finding true rest and purpose. The Mary versus Martha battle, finding true rest and purpose. In 2 Chronicles chapters 14 through 15, let me just give you the context of it. This guy, King Asa, A-S-A, he inherited this kingdom. And, sometimes we inherit a ton of responsibility. Anybody in this room ever inherit the family business or get married and maybe got a bunch of kids and all of a sudden it's like, wow, my life is not about me anymore. There's a lot of pressure. And King Asa got really desperate and he decided to do a spiritual spring cleaning in the land of Israel. And he basically went through and says, guys, it's time. It's time to rediscover our purpose as a nation. Let's get rid of all of our idols, everything that ever distracted, everything that ever stole our heart away, everything we ever thought meant something to us. Yes. And let's just get rid of it and come back to our first love, to God. And it's a really cool story. You should go back and read it. The Lord kind of brought me to it. I stumbled upon it and it just came alive in my heart. In 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 5, King Asa realized that the idols had consumed the heart of Israel. And when he was going back over the history books, he saw that in those times there was no peace to him who went out or to him who came in. But great and vexing afflictions and disturbances were upon all the inhabitants. When we have things that steal our heart and our time and our attention, things that we think might be good things, but they leave us empty inside, it affects our whole household. It affects your experience at church. Wherever you're going, these disturbances, this lack of rest follows us. So idols we can talk about, it's just anything we go to before God. They lead to this dead end. We think it's going to go somewhere great. This is going to be so much fun. But at the end of the night, we lay there going, yeah, it was fun, but still that missing, aching frustration. Tomorrow's Monday. Right? So idols, they lie to our soul. Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And it says, this is going to be a lot of fun. This is going to be the best distraction ever. But at the end of the day, there's still this disconnect. It still causes distance in our relationship with God because we're going to those things, those people, those activities first before we spend time with Him when all we really need is Him. And with a quick adjustment, man, I'll tell you, those things that are so much fun are exactly what you need after you spend time with God, right? Because God has called us to a life of adventure and recreation. Man, go hunting, go fishing. My cousins just went on this float trip. My dad would go down this the Pennsylvania Grand Canyon with the men of my family and Cassie, because she was so much cooler than me. And they would just go have fun in God's creation and ridiculous stories, which we don't have time for, of the adventures of spending time with friends and family. Recreation is good, as long as that comes second, right? Because we were first created to walk with Him. Remember, Adam was created simply because God wanted someone to hang out with. Hey, let's walk in the garden. Let's name some animals. Let's talk about life. You want to know the mysteries of the universe? I am all yours. That's what we were created to do. Revelations chapter 2, verses 2 through 5, kind of talks about an epic, obviously we're talking about this church for 2,000 years, so they're pretty important, church that was doing everything right. They were like, they were the golden child church. But they just had something off. They kind of forgot something. It says, I know your works, your labor, and you have persevered and have had patience. Something I'm always working on. And have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this one thing against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen and repent. You know, sometimes there's just junk, right? It's just stuff. Just lots of important things in our life, and it just starts to take more and more of our time. It starts to hog our heart, right? And The word first comes from this Greek word. I have a bunch of Greek words today. I'm not going to try to pronounce them all because my dad was way better at it. But I had a lot of fun just studying where these words come from. But the word first is this word protos, and it means foremost in time, place, order, and in importance. So idols are anything we go to first before we go to God. Okay, I have this friend in New York, and she was my roommate since, oh my gosh, we've been friends for 15 years. She knows me probably better than anyone else on the planet. And I'll tell you, when something hits the fan, Courtney, you would never believe what happened. Oh my gosh. Blah, blah, blah. Come on. Pastor Sherry still vents sometimes. Okay. I'm working on it. But sometimes that friendship can get me off balance, right? Cause you know what? I'm still venting. I'm still getting angry. Oh my gosh. That's technically gossip. Oh no. What? Ooh. And if I would just go to him first, man, he'd clear my heart, and I can still talk to my best friend about it, but man, be angry and sin not, right? Ooh, it's a little different. So it's what we go to first. These idols are these false loves that steal our time and our heart away. They can be meaningless distractions that just leave us empty and dry. And like I said, at the end of the day, you can have the most fun week of your life and lay in bed that night, and what drifts in is the reality of it's just kind of empty. Still kind of missing that kind of ache where you're like, I just feel like I just don't have that purpose. I just feel like something is still missing. So King Asa and his buddy prophet Azariah knew it was time to refine their purpose. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 2, the prophet Azariah said to Israel, if you seek me, you will find me. My mom and I had the pleasure of doing a mass celebration. It was my uncle's birthday this week and my cousin Mandy's birthday. And we went to this really cool Cuban restaurant downtown. Plug. Go check it out. And we got to meet baby Bria. And she's just the most beautiful baby I've laid eyes on. And my cousins are fostering her right now. And my mom just got to hold baby Bria. And was just playing with her. And man, just obsessed with this beautiful child's face. Like, you look at her, she's so captivating. And I think after everything that happened this week, there was some healing and just joy and celebrating the beauty of a child. And if you're a parent, what game do we like play right off the bat? Peekaboo? And we're not hiding from the kid. Our baby knows exactly where we're there. But it's something about connecting with a baby, connecting with your child, and getting them to respond to your face. They start to know your facial expressions. They start to know what you're thinking. You start to, their wheels are turning. They are connecting with you as a parent. And God loves it when we seek his face first. He's not hiding from us. But man, he wants to interact with us on a very loving, real level. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 15 says, all of Judah, they decided to clean, they cleaned house, spring cleaning, everything that distracts, reprioritize God first. And then we're going to have some fun too. So they had a celebration. It says, all of Judah rejoiced and they made an oath and swore it wholeheartedly with everything in them. And they sought God eagerly and he was found by them. So the Lord gave them rest on every side. You ever play that game when you're a kid? Whenever, you know, everybody gets around you and you kind of like do that lean thing. I can't do it. I'm in heels. It's going to get real crazy up here if I try. And you kind of lean this way and they push you up. Kind of lean that way and you push you up. You know, like no matter where you go, your friend's got your back. It's a trust game. So you got rest on every side. That means when you go to work, God's got you. Rest in him no matter what hits the fan. Because stuff will hit the fan at work, right? When you go to your family's house and they all pounce because you were that person in the family and they're still beating on you. My sisters bully me. They do. Mom doesn't believe it. Okay, they bully me still. And I'm like, ugh, God has got you. Okay? Wherever you go, there is rest on every side. And I loved it in the Message Bible. It says, holding nothing back, anticipating the best. They sought God and he showed up. Ready to be found, God gave them peace within and peace without, a most peaceable kingdom. You will never find rest outwardly in circumstance until you find rest inwardly in him. But we try it the other way almost every day, don't we, sometimes? Just trying to fix the problem. Just trying to fix the problem. I sleep better. Pastor Sherry always sleeps better at night when all my ducks are in a row. Let me tell you, been a little bit of a struggle for the last 2 months, and I had to really get in faith for that area just to rest in him. Okay, do you know the Hebrew word for Sabbath, which is like the Sunday day of rest, not only means to cease from work, which is an external act, right? To stop working. Hey, chill. Just chill for a second. It actually means to celebrate. Have some fun. Go hang with your family. Raise your hand if you like Sunday's family day. Okay? Or like you have fun with friends. Like I'm single, so I have fun with friends. V and I like hang late and actually like, okay, these are my family. Okay. my college students, like I forget my age all the time, but they literally are my youngers and brothers and sisters. And after Sunday night, we all just like linger and talk and catch up and joke around. Like my favorite moment. Right? Come on, we love it. And I eat way too much things that are bad for me. Thank you, Mr. Earl, Mr. JC. I appreciate you. You are part of my Sunday celebration every week. Chocolate. So good. Thank you. I appreciate it. I am a chocolate girl. I don't like vanilla. I'm a vanilla snob. It's okay. Just so you know. Love chocolate. So there was this crazy chocolate cake last Sunday, and I was like, I took a bite. I was like, okay, you guys, this is horrible. You will not like this. And I pile half the thing on my plate. Celebrate Sunday. Okay. All right. Even God needed to rest, didn't he? Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 through 3, God made the world, God made mankind, and he said, it was good. And I'm going to rest and celebrate in this moment. Okay, listen, there's nothing better when completing a huge project at your house, and then to kick back, pour an iced tea, have some ice cream, eat some chicken, whatever it may be, and go, man, that was good. Babe, why don't you sit right there? Let's just soak it in. Let's make a fire in the fire pit. Right? Enjoy what God has given you. All right, so the purpose of mankind was a relationship with God, hence Adam. Anybody ever watch this? Do not judge, all you hyper-spiritual people. Okay? Jerry Maguire, right before Tom Cruise got crazy. Jerry Maguire was this moment, and he walked into the love of his life, and he goes, you complete me. And everybody's like, oh my gosh, I want a man to say that to me one day that looks like him. You complete me. And we've been lied to for what, 15 years, that is like the essence of like the soulmate relationship. You complete me. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people in couples therapy because of that movie. Lies. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, in Christ you have been brought to fullness. Nothing better than after Thanksgiving when you are full. It is nap time. It is rest time. I am full. It also says that you have been made complete through our union with Christ. That's what the New Living Translation says. So we are full and we are complete in Christ and in Christ alone, and nothing else will satisfy. Everything else leaves you dry and empty. I love Doritos. There's a giant bag of Doritos down in my office right now. And if I eat that whole bag of Doritos all by myself, as good as it tastes in that moment, it's going to hit you like a rock later. We don't need to go there. What are we filling up on? Oh, gosh, that was the youth pastor in me. I am so sorry. Moving along. Okay. If we don't get it right, we get out of rhythm, right? And if you're like me, I can barely clap and sing in church in the same time. So I need all the rhythm I can get in life. So we want to stay in rhythm with God, because if we get off track and our priorities switch, the pieces don't fit. You ever been more frustrated than a jigsaw puzzle and you can't get the pieces to fit, and you spent like 10 hours and your kid's like, mommy, is it done yet? And they're like, oh gosh, I can't find the pieces. You probably ate one. It's frustrating. So without that closeness, that intimate relationship with God, that rest from every side with him, church gets really empty, becomes empty religion. And man, God don't have no fun with that, neither do we, do we? You ever been to just that dry moment? It's not always a dry church. It could just be you. Did I say that? Just think about it. We are always going to get what we put into it, right? Jesus is a gentleman. Doesn't force himself into your life. So like a healthy marriage. Now I have friends that have really, like, okay, Jason and Amber Salmitz. Jason, let me say it. I'm embarrassing. I hang out with Amber and she is madly in love with her husband. How long have you been married? I don't think about it. Oh no, and I announced to the whole church. Okay, she is madly in love with her husband. I love it. Okay, Mike and Mandy, madly in love with each other. They're my cousins. Okay, Stacy and Lane love each other. Erica and Joe adore each other. These people are madly in love. And you know what? That's what I'm waiting for. Thank you for setting a high bar. But love, though, come on, you guys that have been married a long time. I'm 33 and a half. I'm starting to round up for sticker shock, okay? So they've been married a really long time in my mind. And you guys out there have been married for far longer, right? But we also know that love is not an emotion. It's a choice, right? Because emotions are fickle. There are ups and downs, but love is a choice. And in those moments when we choose to put God first, if we are not feeling it, I am at church and I am so not feeling it right now. That's okay, Lord. You know what? I'm going to put it all aside and I'm going to focus on you. That's the love that lasts a lifetime, right? So when we rediscover our relationship with God, we find more than just the pleasure of his company. We also find our very purpose. Jeremiah figured this out. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. In the Good News Translation, I liked it. It's talking about finding God in purpose. And it says, I alone know the plans I have for you. Plans to bring you prosperity and not disaster. Plans to bring you about the future you hope for. Then you will call to me and you will come and pray to me and I will answer you. You will seek me and you will find me because you seek me with all of your heart. Do you know the Hebrew word for future means destiny? So it's not just things that are going to come. It's like, whoa, God's got big things for your life. And it's always found by just seeking him first. Because you find one when you seek the other. So you might as well just seek him first anyway, right? Because when you seek him first, you put him first, you walk right into your destiny. Things that are hard, things that are striving, trying to get your career, trying to get your business off the ground, trying to get your marriage to work, trying to get your kid through college. Stinking hard. You seek him first, God opens up doors, God lines up your path, you walk into your destiny. Philippians chapter 3, verses 9 through 10. If you're having problems reprioritizing your life, read this every day in the Amplified, because I did that for probably about 6 months. And the essence of it says, to be found and to be known is in him. Our determined purpose in life, it says, is to be found and to be known as in him. We get that straight? Calling, purposes, vision, plans. Just burst out in the midst of it. So did God find us or did we find him? Like, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Like, what's going on here? Both. He initiates, right? He loved us first, so we love him. And then we respond in faith and we just receive that. Jeremiah 29, verse 14 says, so after he talks about purpose and destiny, it says, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. So I'm going to bring you into the part two of my message here. And I want to just say this, that some of us have lost our way. We lost a sense of purpose and envision. Everyone just had that dry time where you're like, listen, I'm with God. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to heaven. You know, my family's good, but I just feel like there's more and it's missing. Many of us have lost our way, lost our purpose, and are being held captive sometimes just by our own busyness. Something to think about. And we strive and we strive and we strive to get it done, get something done, to have something to show for it, something to give to our kids, right? And it's just so frustrating. So welcome to the Martha epidemic. We're going to talk about it. It's in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And I'm going to read it real quick and we're going to break it down. Now they were traveling along, Jesus and his disciples, and they entered a village. And a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all of her preparations. And she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all of the serving alone. Anybody have to carry a family holiday all by themselves? That's fun. Especially when everybody's watching the game in the other room. Even more fun. Tell her to help me, Jesus. Do you not see I'm doing this all by myself? But the Lord answered her in verse 41. It says, Martha, Martha. When you read in your Bible and it says two, the exact same words back to back. So Martha, Martha, or come, come. It actually is trying to make it louder. So the first time it says Martha, and the second time it's like, Martha, 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 hello, trying to get your attention. You are worried and bothered about so many things, but the only one thing that is necessary, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. All right, so I'll be real with you guys. I am a Martha sympathizer. Major. Every time I read this, it's like, seriously, Jesus, cut her a break. She's trying here. I am never sympathizing with Mary. I am being honest with you. Why? Because I am wired like Martha. I am a go, go, do, do. I will fight for you. You got a battle? Put me in the ring. I got your back. We're going to get this done. You got an event to do? I am not good at decorating for events, believe it or not. You tell me the matching napkins and the where you want the balloons and I will get it done. Right, Em? Em has a creative genius brain. My friend Emily Warnick, you have no idea how many things at this church got done because her brain came up. I was like, just tell me what to do, coach. Put me in the game. Tell me what to do. I will get her done. I have to fight the urge to want to punch Martha a little bit, maybe in the face. Hence the title that I wasn't allowed to do because you would think Mary, Mother of God. And I'm actually talking about super spiritual Martha. Okay. Irritates me because she comes off like this, like super hyper spiritual prayer in the closet all day person. While I'm cooking Thanksgiving dinner. My sister's watching the game. I mean, really? Hello. There is work to be done. Jesus is here. He is now. There are a lot of mouths to feed. I am being honest. Yes, I'm sarcastic. Yes, I am exaggerating, but everybody get where I'm coming from. Am I the only one that thinks like this sometimes? I have some friends in certain ministries, and they're wonderful people, and they go to these ministries, and they pray all day. Some of them, they will pray all weekend. Some of them are on staff at churches, and their job is to pray. Now, mind you, they have to come up with their own funds. So I was like, whatever, good deal. So that's all they do. And I get so irritated. I was like, really? You are weird, number one. You've been there like too long. You're getting weirdy. Become one of those weird people. And also, like, I don't get it. You know, like, isn't there a balance here? Because faith without works is what? Okay, that's what we're going to talk about here. I do. I think like those people at certain ministries that all they do is their job to pray. Now, mind you, intercessors is a spiritual gift and vitally needed. You will never get anything done without prayer. Ever. We're going to talk about dragging yourself in circles. That's what's going to happen without prayer. But at some point, you might need to go, God, you telling me anything to do? What's next? Just saying. Just ask the question. He might tell you something. I really do. I think if you spend way too much time in the prayer shack and you don't start interacting with the world, you're going to become like a spiritual unibomber. I mean, listen, beards aren't good on ladies, all right? You're going to get weird, so you need to get out there, all right? Spread the good news. Spread the good news. Pray and spread the good news. All right, done. That was my rant. Sorry, I'm venting. Oh, my gosh. So the balance between the prayer closet and get her done. You got to find some balance. And people are like, balance is a compromising term. That's ridiculous. Now you're one of those weirdies, okay? Balance, fullness, whatever you'd like to say. There's a fullness between faith and works. Brother Hagin, I don't quote a lot of preachers, but this one I really like because I think he gets taken out of context a lot. He used to always say, shoot for the middle of the road. Just stay in the middle of the road, and then you won't fall on either ditch. A lot of followers still fall in either ditch. How did we fall in the ditch? And why did Mary get all the credit? Okay, seriously, I'm still stuck on this. You read the Bible, why did she get all the credit? I know I'm being sarcastic, but there's a lot of truth in what I'm working through right now. So I had to go to the original Greek to find out why Mary got the credit on this one. I think there's going to be some words on the screen because I am not going to try to pronounce them. But now it says that Mary was listening at Jesus' feet. The word listening means to understand, to hear with the ear of your mind effectively so as to perform that spoken word. All right, this word, the word word comes from the word logos. Okay, you guys know Legos? My family was obsessed with them. Okay, where's Johnson Clan? Obsession with Legos, right? Okay, we love building and we love creating, and my parents would wake up in the morning and get like Legos stuck in their heel. Let me tell you, that didn't tickle because they were everywhere in our house. Okay, the word logos is a derivative, Lego is a derivative from the word logos, and it means to connect, to link. So Mary, when you break this scripture down, was sitting at Jesus' feet. And something in this picture, I want you to think, she's sitting there and she is connecting and connecting and connecting and internalizing God's word. And it's sinking into her heart and it's changing her paradigm. What is the paradigm? It is her world view. Her world got flipped, turned upside down. Okay, yep. There's my rapping moment. Her whole world got changed and had to get reconnected, right? A whole new foundation was made from the spoken word that she was taking the time to let change her life. And it wasn't a brain thing. It was a heart thing. Because I know a lot of Christians that got more Bible memorized, but have no peace, no love, no joy, and nobody wants to hang out with them. So there's, you got to connect it to your life. And that's what Jesus is saying. Martha, you're all up in knots over here. But she's connecting what I'm saying to her life to go act on it. So she was a doer. She wasn't just going to sit there all day, lazy person. She was just taking a moment to let it sink in, to change her life. So she had a foundation to go and do it, to not be bothered, to not be so worried. So the other extreme is Martha, and she's lost in the busyness of work. And Jesus lovingly, because he is love, he called it out and he called it distraction. If you read in your Bible again, he said, you're so distracted. Do you know what distracted means? Ready for this one? Here, I'm just going to use this for fun. This is for later. It means to drag around in circles. I am working so hard right now. Do you not see how hard I'm working? I know you just got back from work and the game is on, but we have stuff to do. The kids' homework, they need your help. They need your help. Don't you see I'm working? Dishes. Clack, 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 clack. I was like, I got it all by myself. No big deal. I work hard all day long. Nobody appreciates me. What are we doing? We are dragging our burdens, our work around. Are we going anywhere? I'm picking on the ladies because I am one. Okay? I have had those moments where no matter how hard I work, I am going nowhere fast. And I'm making a stink about it along the way. So, to be distracted, drag it around in circles. John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me, if you make your home in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you ain't doing nothing. Drag, 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 and circle. I just can't get anything done. I just don't understand. Like, why isn't anything happening in my life? My life is going nowhere fast. Might have too much going on in your life. You get to this point of fruitless works, and whether it be in your family, your job, what God's called you to volunteer in a ministry, you get real frustrated, and frustration is not good for anybody. Martha's tendency to be busy all the time got her out of balance, and blessings and revelation and purpose was passing her by. So while Mary was enjoying the pleasure of God's company, she said, I'm just going to enjoy. Jesus is here. He's here right now, and he's got something to say to me. It's just soaking it in. Martha is feeling the pressure of the ministry, of serving, of the family, of the job. She's feeling the pressure of his company. Jesus, serving him doesn't cause pressure in your life. We're going to talk about it. So Martha was deceived and saw the ministry as a complication to life. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 29 says, God made us plain and simple, but we have made ourselves very complicated. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 3 says, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and the purity of devotion to Christ. Whatever degree that Satan can distract you from building and growing your relationship with God is the level and the degree of which we are deceived. Whatever degree Satan can distract us from our relationship with Jesus, to that degree, we are walking in deception. The word preparations is actually another word for ministry. So you can, let me put it this way. There's no scriptural distinction, I did a study, between serving or ministering to someone. It could be a general sense, as in your family, your coworkers, your boss, you're serving, right? Or in a church setting or in a ministry setting. Okay, there are people that have ministries outside this church that are serving people just because, like JC and Jerl, they serve people. Don't get much thank yous, but they do it unto the Lord, right? Out of the abundance of their heart. So as far as God is concerned, whether you're serving your family, your friend, a congregation, complete strangers, we are all ministers. No matter how important or noble your activities are, though, it will never take the place of spending time with him because he wants you first. Sometimes we are so busy working for God that we forget he wants to work with you. You might need to take a moment, get off the rat wheel. Or how about like you hyper-exercisers, the treadmill? Deceived, I'm going somewhere though. I look good while I'm doing it. Still going in circles. Still going nowhere, doing it by yourself. So multitasking is good except when it's with Jesus, right? Okay, my dad, if you've ever driven with him, you probably didn't. Hopefully he didn't do this with you. He would drive with his knees, because the man had real long legs. He'd drive with his knees. He had a coffee cup in one hand, Bible in the other, cell phone here. And if he had to get an elbow in it for a quick turn because a deer was in the road, it was fine. I thought that was normal growing up. I really did. This is fun, Dad. Grandpa taught me how to drive, though. Pop did. He did not do that, okay? So you can sometimes miss something, and that can be very dangerous to you, right, when you're multitasking too much. Now, it's good. It's okay to listen, pray or pray in the spirit or sing while you're doing chores, while you're mowing the lawn, while you're driving, you know, whatever. But as long as you stay connected with his heart. So just stay connected. Luke chapter 10, verse 41, Jesus once again told Mary she is worried and bothered about so many things. You know what that term worried means? It comes from this Greek word that means dividing and separated. Or a divided mind. Have you ever been worried about something, no matter how hard you try to focus on the task at hand, there is a piece of your mind that always keeps drifting back to that thing. And it takes so much longer and there's no pleasure in what you're doing at that point. Right? A house divided against itself can't stand. Won't be successful. And that's why we got to take every thought captive. Right? So if you think of it, we're going to use a softball analogy, plug for the team. If you got a softball machine going at you and it's shooting balls at you and these are thoughts, these are worrisome, frustrating, what if thoughts, you better get your bat and get them out of there. Because if you don't, you're going to get battered. You're not going to get anything done. The word bothered comes from this word turbazo, which means a crowd. You're like, where are you going with this? Okay, let's talk about Webster here. Webster says, bothered means disturbed, perturbed, or turbulent. You know, in airplanes, when you're hitting some bumps in the road, what happens? Oh, the emotions go up and down, right? So turbulence, disturbances, the way we react to them emotionally, not respond to them in God, will affect your body. Talk about the fastest way to break down your immune system, be sick all the time. It will break down relationships and friendships around you too. So how we handle things, if we are worried and bothered, it will destroy your life. It'll destroy your marriage. It'll destroy friendships and relationships. We get short-tempered. We get irritable. Okay, Martha even gets miffed at not only just Mary. It's one thing to go off on your sister, okay? They forgive us. They're blood, okay? She gets mad at Jesus. Did you not read that? She's like, Jesus, do you not see what's going on around here? I am doing this all by myself for free. You owe me, Jesus. I said that to him one time and the Lord corrected me real quick. Long time ago. And so Jesus responds, or, you know, she says, come, you know, my sister has left me to do all the work. She's grumbling. Tell her to help me. So Martha's mind is crowded with all this noise. You guys know what this is? This is a sound machine. I had a lemon roommate in Tulsa, one lemon roommate. It was probably like the nail in the coffin that got me over here. No, I'm kidding. So I'm just kidding. I had this lemon roommate and she was obnoxious and horrible and she had people over way late at night and I got this sound machine and you would turn it on and it would just go, but like not gross and throaty like that. It just kind of drowned out the annoying noises. A lot of businesses and offices have these in counseling centers and phone centers because it's less distracting with the clamor and things like that. So they call it an ambient noise generator. Do you know what Martha's ambient noise generator was? Service. Because no matter how frustrated I am, that's okay. I'm doing something real productive for the Lord. Think about it. How many times we're frustrated, we're irritated, life is too crowded, life's too busy. Okay, anybody in here, when you get frustrated, are you a compulsive cleaner? I am a compulsive cleaner. I come home and I will scrub the whole place down. I mean, it is sparkling. My mom's like, hey, just let it go. And I'm like, no, it is not done yet. I need to eat off these floors. Okay, my mom, compulsive baker. When her and dad would fight back in the day, I'd come home. I was like, yes. I mean, no, I feel bad. I'm very conflicted how I feel about this situation. But there are pies and cookies everywhere, right? Okay, men, I'm going to go out and split some wood. Imagining your boss's face right there. Maybe you're going to like, maybe you're tinkering with the car, but we sometimes make these noises in service. We want something to show for it, right? I just want to get something done. I want to feel like I'm not dragging in circles, but without him, we always are, right? Because those noises of service sometimes drown out the still small voice. The whisper of the Holy Spirit, it says in 2 Kings, or 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 2. So hiding from Jesus' call to rest with the noise of running around. Even hobbies sometimes. We're still going to him first, right? So why was Martha's response to Jesus so different than Mary's? Was it really just her personality wiring? I don't know. I'm going to pose this question to you. Do you think Martha was getting a little too familiar with Jesus? Scholars actually say that that Jesus stayed, whenever he was in town, he stayed with their family. Lazarus was the guy he cried over. Short of scripture, he cried because Lazarus died. That was her brother. So Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were like the surrogate family to him. And so big sister Martha, she was so used to having him around. She kind of lost that excitement a little bit. She started seeing Jesus as a little bit of a burden. Maybe not him in particular, but maybe the things that he brought to do for him and for the people that came with him. Because her house was always full of hurting people then, right? Jesus makes life messy, complicated, more mouths to feed. You know that song we sing, the youth band sings it, says, may we never lose our wonder. It's challenged us to remember that never lose the captivation of Christ. When we come in to church and we've lost our joy and we've lost that celebration and we've lost the just captivation of just coming into his presence just to worship, that's a really good check in our heart because then we've realized that church becomes a checklist. Check. Served in Sunday school, check. Got the kids here all dressed and matching socks, miracle of miracles, check. They're all downstairs, so now I can just breathe. Why? I don't have to hear that. This is great. But who are we here for? Jesus. So we have to fight that urge of busyness to feed our hunger for him. So I had to spend a very long time fighting the inner Martha over time. Because I'm wired like her. And I had to overhaul my spiritual life. And I saw the fruit of it last year, the best year of my life. Nothing was easier though. But I chose to reprioritize and become more like Mary. I made a choice. I forced myself to do it. So my church in Tulsa, I lived out in Tulsa 11 years. I was offered staff positions, but I turned them down because I knew God was calling me here. So I was just a volunteer. Just a volunteer. They didn't pay me. They tried to pay me. I said no. I just wanted to do it because I loved it. And I served with the youth. I served as a greeter even. You know, like, I mean, after a while, you smile that much, your cheeks start hurting. Kid you not, right? And I got a lot of gums. My gums would dry out. Like, it's like, welcome to God's church. I'd help out at all the events. And what I found out is Sunday, there was work to be done. So my roommate and I adopted the sacred Saturday. And no joke, we were disgusting. I had our friends and family came over last night or yesterday, and they found me. I was so embarrassed sitting at the dining room table in like PJs, haven't washed my hair in 3 days, glasses on. I mean, I do not wake up like this. Yes, I do. When I start dating, you tell them I wake up like this until it's too late. Too late. Now you know. Okay. So the sacred Saturday, I would not shower. I looked disgusting. And I would get up and spend time with the Lord. And then I would make big fatty breakfast. I kid you not. Like, I would pour bacon fat in my home fries. So I made bacon, home fries, biscuits, gravy. And now my roommate liked to sleep in. So by the time she got up, she had it made. Because we had big fatty breakfast on the sacred Saturday. And we did not leave the house till 5 p.m. ever. When I was dating, sorry, no dates before 5 p.m. on Saturday. That is my day. And yeah, there was rest. Yeah, I spent some time with the Lord and I listened. Then I ate some big fatty breakfast. I hung out with my roommate and we watched TV and drank Cokes and coffee at the same time because that is my day. So now I work at a church. I need an extra day. So if you ever call me on a Monday, I once again do not leave the house till after 5 o'clock. Sometimes I don't even shower till 11 p.m. I am disgusting because I just need to rest and it takes some effort to look like this and I just don't feel like it. I wake up like this. Remember, that's what we tell people. Resting is a good thing. And when you're in God's presence, it's good to take off your hat and stay a while. Soak it in. So I'm going to wrap this thing up. Time to find true spiritual rest. How do we break free from the Martha mood swings? Because exhaustion makes us crazy, right, ladies? We are tired. There is a side of us that you didn't marry. It came out. You didn't know it was in there. We are tired. Okay? Things that are not emotional become very emotional. Things that don't matter become very, very, very important because we are tired. We forget the point. We lose our sense of purpose and what really matters. And guys, you do it too. Let me tell you, my dad was awesome. But I could tell when he had a very taxing day. You just get on edge, right? No matter how many balls we have in play. Once you get really tired, you drop one ball, you drop them all, and we are done. And that's what happens. Our body suffers, our mind suffers, our relationships suffer. They even break down. Body, mind, and relationships. So the devil gains access to our emotions when we keep flying through life without taking time to renew ourselves in God's presence. You ever take like a quick shot of spiritual wheatgrass? You know, this is a big trend. I have some wonderful family members out in California. It's like the healthiest state in the world. They don't have big fatty Saturday breakfast, okay? So I'm not living there. And they get shots of wheatgrass, you know? I'm not feeling real healthy, so put in my smoothie that's all sugar and like one piece of fruit. Put a shot of wheatgrass in there and that's healthy. We feel good. So you know, spiritual wheatgrass, scripture, you know, the little promise box that grandma gave you 20 years ago, it sits on your coffee table. Dust it off. Okay, that's good. Bible app, scripture of the day. All right. So you think that God, all that he has for you, he's going to download in 2 seconds. But if that's all you got, tell you what, he'll take what you have, right? That's okay. He loves you. He'll take any time he can get with you. So that's not a judgment thing. I just want to challenge you. Go, there's more if you want it. You know, eating and running on a romantic dinner is the first way to can a relationship. Okay, in our family, you eat real fast, otherwise you don't get seconds. So, oh, this is real good. Thanks. All right, talk to you later. Bye. Or those big fancy pants restaurants, they have a tasting menu. And you just get to taste and kind of savor all the cool stuff on the menu. It's really, really fun. But if you blow through that and don't enjoy it, what was the point? God wants you to linger and taste and see and know he's good, because there's always more. There's always another round coming. So don't rush the resting process. Sometimes it's hard to get off this adrenaline buzz of go, go, go. You can be physically resting, not moving, and your brain is still going 100 miles per hour, right? My brain, the way it works, I am constantly solving this giant jigsaw puzzle in the back of my brain. For those of you that aren't in jigsaw puzzles because you're not as old as me, it's like Candy Crush going on back there all the time. Or if you're like really smart, Words with Friends. Okay, and I'm just constantly going. It takes me a long time to settle my heart. So I use this analogy in the youth, but if you imagine the oil at the top of this jar being the Holy Spirit speaking to you, and the bottom of this is just life, emotions, your mind, your will. When you have a shaky day, rough week, or it's just stinking busy, it takes some time for your heart and your mind to settle, to hear. God's always talking. He is in you. But sometimes we got to quiet ourselves. And it may be on the lawnmower. That's okay. My mom would fight to mow the lawn. She loved it because she couldn't hear anybody. It was great. She loved mowing the lawn. Later, when I became older and I didn't get paid for it, I would fight to mow the lawn because I was a big sister and everybody was like annoying me, you know? So you get quiet and then God is speaking to you and his voice starts rising up, but it takes a little time, right? Even as I'm talking, it's taken just a little time. So your spiritual wheatgrass shot, or hey, if you're a laser tag fan, you know, when you're out of ammo and then you just run through the little like laser tag thing, you know, what do you call it? The power up station, right, Austin? You go through the power up station, goes whoop, ready to go. And I'm like, okay, we're good. 2 seconds powered up for the day. If you only have 2 seconds to spend time with God, his grace is more than enough. But I'm telling you, I think we have more. All right. So even Jesus had to constantly slip away to spend time with his father. I'm reading actually through the Gospel of Matthew with our college and career group because we're talking about healing. And Jesus, there were constantly people pulling and pushing and drawing from him. And he would get tired. He was fully God and fully human. And he would sneak away just to talk things over with his father, to get refreshed. He went through times of grief as well. His cousin John got beheaded. I just read that. And it says, in that moment, you could tell it shook Jesus. And he went away just to spend some time with God. Even Jesus needed time to get refreshed and recharged. So this is my closing scripture, Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. In the Amplified, it says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. In the Amplified Bible, it says, I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest, relief, ease, and refreshment, and recreation. It's good to have fun in God. Join the softball team. And blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is wholesome. It is useful, good, not harsh, not hard, sharp, or pressing. But it is comfortable, gracious, and pleasant, it says in the Amplified. And my burden is light and easy. I'm going to break down about 4 words. And you're going to understand this and it's going to blow your brain because it blew mine. The word labor actually comes from a Greek word that describes a person who has become completely exhausted due to continuous, nonstop work. The most wearisome kind of working, striving with every fiber of your being, literally working to the end of your strength. My dad used to work construction and build houses. And sometimes you have those dust till dawn days and you're still out there with a flashlight and your kids are with you because you had babysitting duty, okay? And you're like, we'll get ice cream, but you are trying to get that drywall up. And with every ounce of your being, and you are going on God and adrenaline. And I literally watched my dad nail his hand to the wall one time because he was so tired. Twice. I cleaned up the blood. It was fine. To the end of your strength, you labor. And the word heavy laden comes from this Greek word depicting carrying a very heavy load on your back. Dan, come on up. Yes. I need you to take... Yeah, Dan! Dan! Okay. I need you to take that bag and put it on your back like a backpack. All right, this word heavy laden actually comes from this military term, which means a soldier's backpack. And it was an expected requirement of them. Anybody, any veterans that have served in our military, I would like to thank you. We have very dear family members. Thank you. I mean that. Thank you so much. Truly with my whole heart. So you understand this, that you're assigned a military pack, right? And everything you need for that particular tour or that particular duty is in that pack. If you had a short one, it's going to be a smaller pack. If it's a long one, it's a long pack and it's packed to the brim. So Jesus spoke to people that were doing their job for a very long time. They had a task, they had an assignment, and it wasn't a short one, and it wasn't an easy one, because they were heavy laden with this big, heavy backpack. And Jesus was speaking to people that knew that their job wasn't finished, and there was still a long road ahead. And they needed rest, and they needed refreshment. And when you read that scripture, it actually doesn't say that he took the burden, the backpack. I had this thing all wrong. You look at the Greek. It says that he'll give you rest. He will give you the supernatural grace empowerment. Grace means God's character, God's nature, that comes from the word charis, freely received in your life and reflected to the people around you. So he will give you the grace where all of a sudden it is no longer burdensome and heavy. He gives you the rest and strength. Jesus knew that there are times when we are exhausted, that we feel like we can't go any further, that we want to quit, but we know we can't. Because someone's got to do it. Someone's got to take care of the family. Someone's got to keep the business from going under. Someone's got to fix the car. Someone's got to do it, but Jesus, I'm maxed. I'm tired. And I just nailed my hand to the wall. My kid's cleaning up the blood. God, I need help. And Jesus begs them. And listen, he's a gentleman. He doesn't force you. He doesn't say he'll come to you first. He's ready. He's there. He's a gentleman. He doesn't force himself into your life. He says, but if you come to me, I'm begging you, come to me. All who are burdened, all who labor to the breaking point, all who are so heavy laden, they can't go one more step and the journey ahead is long. Thank you, Dan. You can leave that. Thank you very much. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. And you know what the word rest means? Comes from this Greek word that means relax, calm, refresh, rejuvenate, reinvigorate, revitalize, and also means to pause and cease. Jesus says, I want you to take a break. I want you to lay it down for a sec. And I want you to spend some time with me. And I will refresh you. I will strengthen you. And now I'm asking you to put your yoke upon me. What is a yoke? You took two animals, normally oxen, and it was that thing they put over their neck that linked them up together, right? And it was actually, when they come from this word, the Greek word for yoke, it meant that the load that that one animal had to carry was so heavy that it needed the second one to do it. And when the two linked up, they could do it together better. So it means you became an inseparable team with Jesus. And it makes you stronger, and the task is easier. So Matthew 11:29 says, take my yoke upon you. The word take comes from this word, means to deliberately lift and take up. Jesus doesn't come up to you and just slap his yoke on you. He says, you need to make a mindful choice to bring me into the situation, to spend some time with me, put me first. You make a mindful choice in that breaking moment. Link up with my yoke, and this is going to be easy. It's going to be light. It's going to be good. The word easy means pleasurable, delightful, and comfortable. My burden is light. Serving with Jesus, not just for him. Serving your family with Jesus. Serving your employer with Jesus. Or if you're your own businessman, my dad was an entrepreneur, so was my uncle, and so was my grandfather. We like to do it ourselves. Creating your own business and running it is joyful. It's pleasurable. It is not uncomfortable. It's good. So whatever God has called you to, my yoke is easy. The word light means non-burdensome. God has given you the grace to make it a joyful thing, a pleasurable thing, a comfortable thing. He didn't say it was going to be easy. But with him, it's good. It's easier. It's better when we're together. So wrapping this all up, my final thought is our destiny, our purpose, our assignment, our calling, and all the empowerment, rest, and refreshing that you need will always be found where? In him. You spend time with him, you'll see yourself doing things you never thought you could do before. You'll see yourself in a career path you didn't even know you wanted to do. You'll have this business idea that will just completely turn the world upside down and change your family's life. Things that are burdensome become easy when we're linked up. We have to make a mindful choice to put his yoke on and do it with him. So when we spend time with him, let's us all stand up. When we spend time with him, just get real quiet right now in your heart. And I just want to challenge everybody to take some time and listen. Do you hear that call? There is a great commission. It's in Mark 16, verse 15. Jesus commanded all of us, not just pastors, not the pastor, not all those special titles they have in the Bible. Everyone, go into all the world and preach and proclaim the good news to every creature. That means we gather and worship. We grow in God's word and we go out into every man's world. That means your job, your neighborhood, Walmart. That means your business trip. That means your vacation to Hawaii. Wherever you go, you be Jesus. You receive his grace as he is in this world. So are we. Do you hear that call, church? YCF, it is go time. But we're going with him. And we take him wherever we go. So, Father, I'm just going to pray over you guys and you're dismissed. Father God, in Jesus' name, forgive us. Forgive even myself, God. There are times when I have just been dragging in circles, doing things my own way. Father, forgive us if we're doing things without you. And God, help us to put you first, to reprioritize our life and rest in you and have so much fun in this great adventure called life. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys are dismissed.